Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. It is my pleasure to welcome you to today's e-broadcast, Generation Now, Pervasive Content Collaboration, Leveraging Cloud with ECM. My name is Chris Kissel, and I'm an industry analyst at Frost & Sullivan, and I'll be both your moderator and one of today's presenters. Today's e-broadcast is designed to be interactive between you and the presenters. You can participate in the question and answer session by asking questions at any time during the presentation. Just type your question into the Q&A box in the top left portion of your console or by clicking on the Q&A widget and then click the Submit button. You are also able to enlarge the slides at any time by dragging the bottom right center of the slide window. The slides will advance automatically throughout the event. If you are experiencing problems with the program, please press the F5 button on your keyboard to refresh your console or close and relaunch the presentation. You can also visit our eBroadcast Help Guide by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom right or simply submitting a help question. We will also be posting a polling question during the presentation. It will appear in the slide area, and in order to answer the poll question, please select the radio button that corresponds with your answer and click the Submit button. At the end of the eBroadcast, we will take a look at the polling results. Today's program will also be available on demand by visiting www.frost.com/device so that you can share the program with your colleagues. Before we get started, let's take a moment to look at today's agenda. First, I will be giving a brief overview of cloud-based enterprise content management systems. Second, we will have a panel discussion around leveraging cloud with ECM, featuring Huzefa Hakim, who is the Senior Product and Offering Manager of Cloud Enterprise Content Management at IBM, and Toby Bell, also in the ECM Marketing Offering Strategy Lead in the IBM division. And finally, we will discuss the polling results and get into the Q&A session. At the end of today's presentation, I'd like to ask our audience to participate in a final survey and evaluation of today's program. The survey will appear in the center of your screen. After the e-broadcast, we've asked IBM to stay on for a few extra minutes to demonstrate the best practices presented in this e-broadcast, and this may inspire some improvements to your own organization, so we'll hope you'll stay on for this extra informative discussion. With all that being said, let's now get on with today's program. This e-broadcast is about how enterprise content management systems are being designed to integrate with cloud-based communications platforms. And the reason that this is happening is because the work environment is changing. We're finding that workflows are no longer local. Project completion now includes contributors from different divisions and different countries. Enterprise content management systems have always included content management systems and various publishing tools, but now file sync and share is part of the platform as well, and kind of a neat aspect of cloud-based enterprise content management systems is that now access to files can be given to collaborating partners, third-party contractors, and guest registers. To an individual, work is truly dynamic. People want to be able to work while on the road, while at a job site, or on off hours. This is kind of cool in our industry. A lot of people travel, and a lot of people feel that Starbucks is a virtual work kiosk, and then there's always time between flights to fit some work in. Access to work must be dynamic. The mobile phone is essentially the new workstation. As you know, at times it's impractical to use a full-size laptop, and workers can be empowered if they can find contacts or either use their cell phone or tablet in the publication process. And while the work environment is dynamic, security concerns cannot be compromised. While this concern seems self-evident, even as enterprises are developing new ways to access and share data, the same concerns about improper access, data loss prevention, and integrity still persist. The next slide reviews the off-to-the-cloud strategy. And I kind of like how we put this together. This graphic leads me to make a few key points about how cloud communication platforms work. The cloud can be leveraged to push applications, directories, and operation systems updates from a single central administrator. Along the same lines of administration, the cloud offers bidirectional architecture so that applications, access, and file management can be pushed to a single administrator or redistributed centrally to different regions or different divisions. The cloud is going to be integral to the Internet of Everything. Part of the benefit of this is that anytime, anywhere, any device access to data becomes possible. The results of social media could be integrated back into the cloud to build better context awareness of customers, of better customer relation tools, and certainly of better advertising platforms. Along the same lines, at least down the road with cloud platforms, analytics can better facilitate search functions, and cloud computing can happen in real time as cloud-based platforms improve. And lastly, instead of purchasing new capacity for storage, companies can now use cloud service agreements in the hopes of adding storage. In this multi-cloud environment slide, at Frost & Sullivan, we conducted a study. So this all comes from the 2014 Frost & Sullivan Cloud User Survey of IT professionals. We found out that half of U.S. businesses are now using public cloud, with another 30% planning to adopt the model in the next 2 years. 45% of businesses are currently using a provider's hosted private cloud or virtual private cloud, with 32% planning to add in another 2 years. 39% of businesses have deployed a private cloud in their data centers, up 10% from a year ago, and another 31% are planning to add in the next 2 years. Among cloud users, 42% say they have a hybrid cloud, meaning that this could be any type of these previous cloud environments we described here. And along the same lines in the same format, why are businesses moving to the cloud? And also from the same survey. The most important reason that businesses are moving to the cloud for business functions is it improves IT flexibility and agility. 80% of our surveyors said this was the case. The cloud helps to deliver services and applications faster. At 77%, some say improved business continuity and disaster recovery becomes facilitated. And I want to make a kind of a secondary point about this. If you think of a business that's using a cloud environment and has data coming in from, say, San Francisco and Denver in the western part of the United States, if for some reason you had access shunted to the San Francisco data center, you would still be able to have full access to your functions and your abilities through the Denver center while San Francisco and Denver were still getting back up and running. So the idea is you've already built redundancy in, and on top of that, in a lot of cases, companies will have significant amounts of data behind their own behind their own network firewall. So now you have like a case for triple redundancy in some cases. Reduced costs were 77% of the thing seen by IT directors as favorable, and also reduced hardware, software, and maintenance burden was cited by 77% of IT professionals. So the way we see it, reduced costs and maintenance burdens are similar. Cloud-based communications are highly extensible in terms of adding or subtracting new directories and new users. So much of the need for hardware for storage, email servers, or LAN accelerators is assumed by the cloud-based service provider, a powerful incentive to migrate to cloud-based services. There are certainly drivers and restraints, and people have some different levels of comfort about adopting the cloud services. Note that enterprises have already made significant investments in content management systems, directories, and publishing tools. Moving forward, many of those enterprises and medium-sized businesses have an established workflow. So companies that have an open API will let businesses leverage their pre-existing content management systems, a big plus in our opinion. Cloud-based technology is unifying greater bandwidth and capacity, instantaneous communications, and stronger computing platforms, also known as data centers, and there's also central platform management. Cloud-based communication architectures can be either centralized or distributed as seen fit. This is also opposed to trying to link, you know, several discrete on-premise content management systems at different locations. Those are advantages of the cloud. Restraints. Secure communications behind a network firewall or in a cloud environment. Every organization has an idea about what their security posture should be. But as noted earlier, we're seeing a gradual migration to cloud-based services and platforms. However, many IT teams are adjusting to the new network paradigms. Integration with content management programs, directories, and publication tools. While successful ECM, systems will account for these types of integrations, the physical transition is not always easy, and also just the mere perception of making these kind of changes can be daunting to an IT department. Worker productivity tools have to be easy and intuitive to work with. And this really can't be overemphasized. For some of the things that we're going to talk about and how files are shared, how collaboration happens, if the individual user becomes frustrated, they're very likely to go back to the old email system, or they're able to uplink, download things for thumb drives. And once you do this, all of your security ideas are lost. And yeah, cloud sounds great, but the old networking rules still must apply. Auditing and compliance standards remain. Auditing is important in that IT needs to be able to track what has happened in the event of a breach. Also, the ability to create audits is often a requirement for different standards bodies like HIPAA, PCI DSS 3.0, and NIST. What does a successful content management system look like going forward? Well, the cloud is the means and collaboration is the purpose. Not only does the cloud create an opportunity for collaboration, the most successful ECMs will find ways to integrate existing collaboration tools and platforms, and they're also going to find new ways to build collaboration into the platform. We've talked about integration with existing content management systems. That's preferable. Agility within data and ways to find data. We've made this note because on a per-file basis, several features can be developed to make data more accessible, and I'm going to ask my panel about how to avoid a digital landfill. A strong cloud environment is necessary, and we've talked about central administration. Note that increased productivity should be the end result of a smartly designed enterprise content management system for cloud. Support for multiple devices becomes a powerful empowerment. And then auditing and compliance. We touched on auditing and compliance, but suffice it to say that any cloud-based ECM is going to have to make auditing and compliance, monitoring, and reporting easier for IT and not harder than their existing infrastructures. Affordability is the last concern. And you got to understand that sometimes the argument for cloud-based enterprise content management is subtle. However, the total cost of ownership has to make sense in terms of data agility, lessening of IT resources, collaborative abilities, and in terms of hardware and storage extensibility. So those are the things that are going to make a very strong, successful enterprise content ECM. Okay. Now I'd like to begin our panel presentation with Huzefa Hakim and Toby Bell. These gentlemen are with the ECM and marketing and offering strategy with IBM. Gentlemen, it's good to have you. The term digital landfill has been used to describe content gone astray. What should clients be doing to avoid this scenario?
Well, thanks, Chris. I'm going to take the first stab at this. And on behalf of our listeners, I'm going to say, oh, good, you might think another place to share files. And maybe that's not so good. I mean, content's already the predominant information type in enterprises by something like a 4-to-1 ratio. Now it's being married to new file types, repositories, devices, all by merit of cloud, mobile, and social technology. But keeping it in motion can be very tricky. So convenience and low opt-in costs are consumer-led demands that sometimes overwhelm more responsible approaches. And salespeople, lawyers, claims adjusters, civil servants, and even customers are all undeniably mobile, so something has to happen. There's also an investment issue you brought up earlier, fixing the problems of legacy information, cleaning out redundant, old, trivial content, managing policies for defensible disposition. They're not going to add revenue to the top line, but getting the right information to the right person in the right place and time, and on the whatever device, for the right reason, that's really difficult. It requires horsepower and logic and access well beyond cloud only. And without those, I think the result's more likely to be information anarchy. So I'm still concerned that enterprises aren't clear on the risks of this particular cloud-hosted content option. But I also think that there are a lot of rewards, and that's where Huzefa, I think, probably has some thoughts. Huzefa?
Yeah, and I'd extend that thought to Think and Share. So free storage generally drove the need for Think and Share technologies in the consumer space. Now, in the enterprise space, external share has driven the demand for the Think and Share technologies. However, the thing to remember is standalone Think and Share is only a point solution, not the entire solution. So if you have more than one line of business within the company who are using these point solutions for the businesses separately, now you're dealing with a situation where you are drifting away from a single coherent content strategy. The company now is at a risk where content is being stored in different locations and has a good chance of getting stale very quickly. Now, there are enterprise content management and collaboration solutions today that include sync and share as a feature to meet the needs of the business. So that is the core solution. And what the business needs today is a single coherent strategy that will make the users productive, business more agile, keep content more active, and have the ability to govern and protect these business assets. The key takeaway here is to avoid a strategy that will drive your business towards a digital landfill.
Outstanding. And I have to admit, Toby, I think information anarchy is going to be a term I'll use at some point in one of my reports. There's a continued emphasis in the market on open-based, open standard APIs. What are the benefits of selecting an open service?
There's a movie out right now called Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and in it there's a Wayback Machine that can take you to any point in time in the past, maybe the future. But if we enter the Wayback Machine in ECM for any given implementation scenario in years past, maybe 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, five times the license cost was spent on integration and process testing, something like that. But it was pretty reliable. It was expensive. So CMIS, Content Management Interoperability Standard, is a vendor-led response to a big problem, but it only goes so far. And as a former enterprise architecture lead, I'm a big fan of future-proofing as many technology investments as possible. So ECM is an area where open really matters, not just because it protects investments, it also enables the extension of them at much lower cost or complexity. So I think we're getting to a point where ECM is in a more symbiotic relationship with CRM, ERP, mobile, and cloud, and with other repositories, too, in a hybrid content architecture, spanning any gaps with CMIS, web services, faster prototyping, easy, reliable integration, and availability on the glass, I think really benefits everyone. And I think that, to me, that's a key focus that every vendor should have. And, Huzefa, I think we're making great gains there.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, CMIS, as you said, Toby, it's an open standard, and it allows content management systems to interoperate over the Internet. So specifically, CMIS defines an abstraction layer for controlling diverse content management systems and repositories. So why is that important? As Toby said sometime back, it is important because major content management providers have adopted this as a standard and have support for these standard-based API for their content repositories. So if you as a customer wrote a custom application against one content management system using CMIS, then the same custom application should be able to run against other content management systems that support the CMIS. So that is the beauty of open standards and standards-based API. Also, the other characteristic is that the standards-based API are very well thought through since they're built based on collaboration between different content management providers. Now, proprietary APIs require specialized knowledge of the system, and businesses to maintain and build these custom applications over time becomes more and more expensive. So the key takeaway, in my opinion, is to stay away from proprietary APIs where possible and adopt open standards to build custom applications and integrations.
Cool. As we talk about cloud, to what degree are clients ready to move to the cloud? If they're still on the fence, is this where a hybrid cloud solution becomes an option? And what is trending from a cloud deployment model perspective?
I guess the answer would depend on strategy. I think there's a big difference between a planned and an accidental information architecture. And any business leader I talk to kind of acknowledges that they know that cloud computing is an area with potentially more rewards than risks to them. I don't think that many, though, could say with any certainty that They know the percentage of information, end users, platforms, applications that are going to be in the mix over the next 5 to 10 years. So there's a low degree of predictability except for the attraction of the cloud and different approaches, SaaS and platforms as a service, et cetera. The good news, I think, is that flexible options exist for any business or budget. The bad news is that the planning changes for systems of record and systems of engagement is really harder. And that may require more patience than end users or customers can relate to. I think cloud is where the slow money of IT capital expenditures meets the operational budgets of line of business leadership and marketing leads. So I think there are different speeds at which people want to enter this and different solutions and approaches that they're more attracted to, sometimes based on the money. And if they're not following the money, maybe it's just where the decisions are being made, whether from IT or business leadership. And I know we talked to a lot of IT folks. Huzefa, where do you think they're going to focus?
Yeah, Toby, as you said, strategy drives most of these considerations for the cloud. And requirements is a big part of that strategy as well. So customers demand standard SaaS solutions to be more agile and respond quickly to the business need. On the other hand, we have customers who will need to build these custom cloud solutions based on a platform and will demand more of a platform as a service type approach to gain the benefits of the cloud along with the flexibility of the customization. So a good content management provider should be able to offer solutions in both these areas. The key thing here is whichever cloud model you choose, be it a SaaS model or a PaaS model, the customers should be able to extend those applications to work with other business applications. So many customers today have a lot of investments on-prem, and a strategy for hybrid becomes very, very important. So seamless interaction between on-prem applications and the cloud applications is a must. And there are companies, there are enterprise content management companies like IBM that have broad range of on-prem products and cloud services that make this interaction between the cloud systems and on-prem systems possible. Open Standards API, again, helps here to create anything custom that's needed between on-prem and cloud solutions. For the cloud solutions, it is important that the services that are provided are enterprise-ready. So that means support is available 24/7. There's good uptime SLA, service level agreements. The service provides enterprise-grade security and auditing capabilities, and the service provides monitoring capabilities, keeps the service updated, and applications and infrastructure patched with available updates.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm kind of, you know, I'm looking at it as almost like, the cloud kind of adds almost another abstraction layer. So, I would ask, does cloud invite latencies or new security challenges?
So it all depends on the infrastructure that's used to host the applications. If the network of data centers are widespread, that it has many data centers in the U.S. and around the world, then this becomes less of a concern. For example, SoftLayer has the capability to host applications anywhere in the world through their vast network of data centers that are available. And each of those data centers has about 2,000 gigabits of bandwidth capacity between the data centers and the points of network presence. So the applications can be hosted in the right geographies, and if proper connections are established to the nearest network presence, then latency should be minimal between the customer's network where the on-prem applications are hosted and the applications that are hosted up in the cloud.
And let me say one thing to that point. I think from the end user perspective that all other things being equal, speed matters most. So addressability, access, zero latency are all critically important from the user perspective. And I think that if enterprises don't really take that strategically into account early in their decision-making process, that's going to be a problem for them somewhere down the road.
It makes sense. It makes sense. I know that earlier in my presentation, I kind of talked about how businesses have to be compliant and how much auditing factors. How does audit factor into the broader content solution?
Well, there are a lot of ways that you can lose data or have it be stolen, or it's been said that there's an information breach for every reason and season. And I think each of us has already had a hacked personal email account, our credit card or patient or identity data compromised, or our bank or retailer social media site hacked. Even if we don't know it's happening, it's happening. That's a fact, and more will happen. So protecting information from theft or misuse or loss or unavailability, to me, is really critical. And as a technologist, you know, again, I consider a lot the end user perspective. And even if we provision them in new ways, an old adage becomes pretty true. The farther your information travels, the more ways you'll need to call it home. You want to be able to have a responsible regulatory approach that takes systems of record and engagement and account end to end. And more importantly, from creation to deletion, an audit trail on content objects is the only responsible approach for cloud sharing of valuable content. And I think that an answer to that has to come earliest in the discussions with our customers. So, Zephyr, are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, and you know, just to extend that thought a little bit, many a times some of these data breaches just happen because of human errors within an enterprise. So it goes without saying that a solution should provide the capabilities for basic auditing and audit trails. For example, if someone's deleted a document in your content management system and others cannot find it, there should be some means to go out and find out what happened to the document, who accessed it, who deleted it. Such capabilities should be available for any user action or any administrative action. Now, administrative audit is important since you want to go back and also check what changes were made by the administrator and when. If a change was introduced, a user or group entry was changed, a report was run, etc., these are actions that you want to be able to edit as an enterprise at any time. Also, important is the ability to run special reports on data, to slice and dice the entries in order to satisfy any reporting needs for the business.
That makes sense. It makes sense. Switching gears, mobile devices in the enterprise are changing the way that people work. Can you speak to that and talk to the opportunities that mobile opens up?
I can. You know, let's call this the content globalization or maybe the smarter content question, right? Because better devices, bring your own device policies, bring your own cloud policies in some enterprises, increased bandwidth and design thinking and really making the applications work really well so that they engage users better. They combine in a lot of different ways, and mostly they do that to better engage people with persuasive content. But if you're in an industry where it feels like a tug of war with customers and partners and employees, and you're digging in with IT resources to save the status quo, expect a lot more hands, I think, on the other side of the rope, because the mobile-first side is going to win this. And there are a number of practical paths to take. You can look at mobile for content management applications, and there are lots of them that make a lot of sense right now. You can think about native mobile applications versus those that are just going to work with any browser on any device type. I think optimizing for phone and tablet form factors makes a lot of sense, especially if you're looking at millions of users and thinking like a true designer to make it consistent with the user experience that they have elsewhere. And then the sample project idea is the best path, I think, for most enterprises. Mobile's a critical business process enabler in certain cases, so you have to look for your best target. Mobile auto claims, for example, in property and casualty support, that's a perfect example, and it's easy to find in almost any enterprise. It just takes a little bit of thought and a little bit of invention. And Huzefa, I know we're hearing a lot from our clients that they've got some of those solutions in mind.
They do. And you know, just to add to your point there, Toby, the thought here is, when was the last time that your mobile phone was out of reach? And probably the answer is you don't remember. And that's why having a strategy to allow anyone and everyone with the mobile tools to work with content and business applications at any time within an enterprise is so very important. And then there are specific use cases where workers who are generally out in the field and they need access to business applications through mobile devices to get their work done. So to give an example for capture, you know, people in the construction business where they need to capture pictures of their project, or insurance adjusters that are out in the field capturing evidence related to claims, or the ability to capture it on site and make it available as part of the business applications. For content, to get access to the latest documents related to the business, and it applies to a wide variety of industries. Pulling up up-to-date documents like invoices, shipping documents, project plans, marketing material, brochures at any time, at any place is very important. And finally, from a case perspective, information gathering or collection on site becomes extremely easy with case-based mobile applications. So collecting information for policies, for example, or insurance claim, or processing work steps for approvals or reviews of business workflows, all intended to make processing easier and make business more agile and workers more productive. An important thing to note here is that while most mobile applications, as Toby mentioned, are available from the respective app stores, however, there's always going to be a need for businesses to build these custom native mobile applications to meet the needs of the business. So having sample applications or source code available from the content management providers is essential, because now you can take that sample application or source code and use that to build out a complete custom mobile application, and that's very important. So there are opportunities through mobile that support how people work, either offline, after hours, or out in the field.
Outstanding. Let's take a quick break from the panel discussion. At this time, I want to take a moment to allow our audience to answer the polling question we talked about. In the next year, do you see a shift of 50% or more of your content strategy to include mobile? Now, what you want to do is simply use your mouse to click on the answer that best suits your opinion. We will be taking a look at the results of the polling question at the end of the presentation, so please stay with us. Thank you very much. The application interface is becoming more and more important. Can you talk to consumerization and how that is affecting the way that software is being developed for enterprise users, as well as the way in which today's business user expects to interact with content?
So, Chris, let me try to take that first. So I guess everyone would agree that content, along with mobile and social applications, is actually changing the content landscape and how application interfaces are being built. Now, because of cloud, now content can reside in one place in the cloud and be readily accessed by multiple applications through multiple devices. So why is this important? Now, since content resides in one place, it's easy to apply security policies to access or restrict access to trusted content. There's the ability to gain trusted information in the context of critical processes. Also, there's an ability to govern the content to manage the risk and protect business assets. Ability to apply social capabilities in the right context, to gain insight into what's important and what's relevant through simple things like comments or number of downloads or likes or tagging. And finally, using the same content to enable business processes or activating case-style workloads. So what that means is, there are different sets of users that require different views of content and business applications across the desktop as well as the mobile device. Now, having more than interfaces, easy to use and consistent user interfaces across various applications and devices, we believe drives rapid adoption and innovation. For example, IBM's applications are built using a user experience platform called Content Navigator. Now, that delivers a modern and engaging user interface across all of the devices and across all applications in our ECM portfolio. So even custom applications, line of business applications developed using the user experience extensions have the same look and feel. Toby, do you agree?
I do. There's a lot in here. Some say that content is king. Others are focused on context, better describing and relating content to other information, maybe, and analytics too. But because content's only really valuable when people use it, I'd be inclined to talk about the ideal intersections of high-value people, process, and information in terms of business outcomes, right? So if I make the right offer to you exactly when and where you want to buy something, we both succeed. To do it, I'm going to need to access the information and analytics, but more importantly, I need to access you on your whatever device. And then after I connect to you, I want to be able to learn how to reach others and update my system and people to perform better to do it again. So I think the mix of systems and insight toward outcomes is really what's underway right now.
Very good. The next slide shows something. The market for enterprise file synchronization and sharing has become extremely large over the last few years. Where do you guys see this market going? Is this sort of a lone market, or should cloud-based file sync and share be part of a broader platform? What's sort of your impressions about the enterprise file sync and share market?
So, Chris, we feel that the consumer sync and share segment has mainly grown because of free storage offered by these sync and share vendors. Now, this coupled with the option to share personal pictures and videos has really fueled the growth in the consumer space. In the enterprise segment, it's mainly grown because of the need to share content with external users, with partners, with suppliers, and with their customers. So it has grown from a little over 20 million in 2010 to about over 200 million in 2012. However, now businesses are realizing that pure sync and share solutions only address a small part of the solutions for the business. What do you think, Toby?
Well, I do think that EFSS is a critical capability in a hybrid content architecture. In a standalone construct, though, really, it's more of a consumer-based commodity until something is connected to it, and a business purpose is measurably achieved, right? So larger vendors with a stake in long-running or far-reaching business processes will want to have this EFSS capability, but not at the cost of their reputations for quality or control or security and integration. And an end-to-end user experience, I think, is really important, right? So rather than an isolated, ungovernable, temporary, one-off tool, I think they want to combine the users to the information in a way that sticks end-to-end at the same time. And I think that that's really a problem with a standalone marketplace instead of technologies. You have to really think holistically, and you have to think about the business outcome you want to achieve. If you're not doing that, you don't have a strategy. You just have buying centers and maybe content problems later.
Cool. Security in a cloud service is critical. What are some of the key considerations for organizations?
Well, I look at this chart, right? So you've got levels of security and compliance and the right trade-off between those and ease of use. And I'm not certain that a trade-off is necessary. And that's because historically enterprises have been lax in controlling content across the board. So that's why 68% or so of the information in them is legacy, if you want to call it that. So it's not about making it easy for users to create and consume content. It's really more about making it easier for that while also adding controls that can be enforced on all content anywhere and everywhere, and that's the business side of the story, right? So though I also agree that 2 and 3 are important in my experience as both an analyst and a designer, I really see usability for people accessing content directly and sometimes bypassing the standalone application interfaces as being both an opportunity and a problem. If the security and access and user experience don't connect seamlessly, you're going to have to plug any compatibility gaps with money. So I think that's the thing that enterprises really aren't thinking about. There's potential cost in not thinking about this holistically, and that those gaps can really be expensive. Muzaffar, are you seeing this too?
Yeah. And what we're seeing is that once the customer has made up their mind to go for a mobile or web-based content collaboration system, then levels of security and compliance is the first thing that's on the mind, especially for IT. So it is generally an IT function to ensure that there are built-in enterprise-grade security and reliability capabilities for that cloud or mobile-based collaboration system. And there are multiple ways to look at security. The first and the most important one is, what does the service provide, right? And a common set should be, does it have a proper physical security and access to the data center? Are the resources who have access to the resources, do they need the right amount of privileges before they can even enter there? It should have encryption for content at motion and at rest. It should have option for private access to the application, where every user that has access to the client's network must be the only ones who could access the applications up onto the cloud. And if you have your set of users or groups defined in a corporate LDAP, then the cloud application should be able to leverage that existing user directory. Second one is, does the application provide access to the right people? So extensive security options for all parts of the content, documents, the folders, the team spaces, searches, et cetera, easily be able to create custom roles and the ability to customize the type of permissions based on those roles. And then the application should provide the flexibility for advanced custom content security, but at the same time have the ability to easily customize security without the need for IT, and also provide options for security without taking away the ease of use. And finally, the final consideration is the application's auditable and ability to audit any type of user or administrative action.
Okay. Public SaaS offerings are not for everyone, or are they? What should your business be thinking about in terms of flexibility, security, cloud models, the ability to extend on-premise to cloud, custom cloud solutions? What sort of the right cloud models?
Well, I think for every enterprise there might be a different answer, but all of them are right answers for lots of reasons. There are enterprises and organizations that are answering the same question division by division or by department or by geography or by user population. But I'd be thinking of these needs to help frame an answer. There are certain things that I think are characteristically true. If licensing models that fit our budgets matter, then I'm going to be thinking that the cloud's going to be very attractive. Maybe the public, maybe partner, or maybe cloud services. If provisioning the right information in the right way to the right people matters, maybe I'm going to start looking at a partner cloud because I'm going to have a process underneath it. Maybe end-to-end control of information with audit trails and accountability is the key question. And then I'm going to look at providers of cloud services that are going to give me a little bit more security and confidence generally. If reduced reliance on custom code, proprietary APIs, isolated repositories, siloed data, maintenance, support, you know, unless some discrete business value is really clear, I'm not going to make any jumps in any direction until I have confidence that my strategy makes sense for me. So it's very likely, I think, for many reasons, business leaders are going to eventually conclude that all cloud models are right for good reasons, and that means they've got a business strategy and they're ready to actually implement it. And Huzefa, I bet you're going to agree with that.
I totally agree. And, you know, public SaaS is actually not for everyone. It depends upon the needs of the business. So basically, there are two main deployment models, one's on-prem and the other is on cloud. So if your environment requires a high degree of customization, then on-prem is probably the best option for you. If you have very complex installations with a lot of integrations with other on-prem systems, then you would be a good candidate for an on-prem system. It gives you a lot of flexibility to deal with customizations. You own the licenses, you own the hardware infrastructure. It is classic, and it's frankly a preference for many of our customers. But if you're looking to gain the benefits of the cloud, to make your business agile, to save cost through either avoiding the upfront cost of licensing and infrastructure or avoiding the cost for resources to update applications, then cloud is the option. In case of a public SaaS option, SaaS delivers a service that is very standard solution that addresses the needs of a line of business. Ability to quickly provision these applications requires little to no customization, and it's priced based on usage, mainly user subscriptions. All of the maintenance and updates to the service is automatic, and it's built to scale as the usage grows. So if that fits your needs, then public SaaS is an option for you. For partner solutions, they have the same characteristics as public SaaS option, except that it's maintained and run by partners. And finally, depending upon your preference, customers can choose cloud services option. It is built based on a client's requirements, and there are multiple models that can be supported. For example, the content management services team can build a custom solution on the cloud and then pass it to the customer's IT to manage the custom application. Or the content services team can build and run the custom cloud. Now, because the solution is custom, licensing options in this model may vary, right, from usage-based to application-specific licensing. So there are always going to be business applications that will be run on-prem. There will be custom cloud solutions that will be built based on your requirements. The key is having a single coherent content strategy is the option for interoperability between the on-prem solutions and the cloud solutions, and this is possible using open standards-based APIs and common set of content platforms for both on-prem as well as on cloud. For example, IBM has the industry-leading platform and has a broad range of capabilities for on-prem as well as custom solutions. We have an ecosystem of partners that have the standard SaaS solutions and also can help with custom integrations to the cloud. Also, IBM has introduced a SaaS content and collaboration solution called IBM Navigator that provides easy share for business and helps improve user productivity through easy-to-use tools. And we have the strategy and vision to enable existing capabilities such as capture, case, and governance solutions in the cloud. So there are options for your business, and your business should evaluate the trade-offs before selecting the right model.
Very good. At this time, I'd like to ask our audience to take a brief survey to evaluate this program. While you're providing your feedback, we'll be reviewing the results of our polling question, and we'll spend some time answering some of your questions that have been submitted during today's live program.